prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. Mm. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Hope you're having a great day today.
Me too.
This is Truth Revolution. You need to get to truthrevolution.tv if you haven't been there yet. It's our website. Also, come on out to Revolution Church. That's where we're from. We're interested in what is true, whether it's something we've believed before or not.
Right.
We don't want just tradition. We don't want just, hey, believe this because my grandpa believed it.
Right.
We're interested in what is real, what is real, what is real.
Right. Because sometimes, like the tagline says, sometimes what you've been taught isn't always true.
Bingo.
You know.
So we're going to talk today about, is claiming to be the one true religion an intolerant thing to say? Because we say Christianity is the one true religion.
Mm-hmm. It surely sounds intolerant at first blush.
It does. It does sound intolerant. Like, hey, yeah, we're right and other people are wrong. Mm-hmm. Of course, is that intolerant or is that just making a claim? Now that
we're going to find out.
Yeah. I mean, does belief, of course, we're going to do Bible contradiction today. So you don't want to miss that. We're going to try to answer some listener questions. So you don't want to miss that. So now, does belief in one religion as better than another cause violence, cause intolerance? And as a pastor, I'm here to say, perhaps it does.
Yes.
It's very possible. Don't you think it's possible?
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I don't know whether I'm jumping ahead or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, the simple fact that whenever you have people having disagreements, it depends on how they go about that disagreement,
okay.
You know, and there have been wars started over religion,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm here to tell you that the history of the Christian church is not pristine.
No. But one of the things we want to point out right off the bat is that for some immoral people, religion makes good excuses to hate people.
Right.
Because Amen. They're just wrong and stupid, and I don't like their culture. And I look, there are immoral people who take on Christianity and use it as a vehicle to do their stupidity.
Right. But Christianity is not alone in that it gets hijacked. There are other religions that get hijacked for that, you know?
Right, exactly. Religion can be hijacked, just like politics can be hijacked.
Right.
Politics can be a vehicle for good.
It can.
I'm sorry.
It can, Jeff.
Politics can be
it just takes a little work
for good, but a lot of times it gets hijacked for bad.
Yes.
Same thing with religion. Now, let's just say, okay, it's true that people have hijacked religion, so maybe we should just get rid of it.
Ooh.
Now look, Timothy Keller, he's a theologian, he's a pastor. He's given in his book, The Reason for God, a book we recommended a few weeks ago. He outlined three approaches on how you handle the fact that religion can be intolerant or the fact that religion may inspire violence. He actually says this, a really, really interesting quote.
All right. There have been several massive efforts to basically outlaw religion in the 20th century. Soviet Russia, Communist China, Nazi Germany were all determined to tightly control religious practice in an effort to stop it from dividing society or eroding the power of the state. This results, however, was not more peace and harmony, but more oppression.
Oppression! Mm-hmm. That's right! In addition to outlawing religion, the fact that when you do that, it never makes it go away. Sometimes, like even in China, it made religion stronger.
Right.
So you not only, when you try to outlaw religion, sometimes religion becomes stronger. When you outlaw religion, it doesn't make things less violent.
Right. When you take something away from somebody that's resolved to actually have that thing, they become even more resolved to get it back.
That is true. That is true. But even if that's not true, all you have to do is look at the leaders of the countries that outlawed religion, what happened in those countries. What happened in Russia? Millions and millions killed by their communist leaders when they outlawed religion. What happened in China? Millions of people killed. What happened in Nazi Germany when they outlawed Christianity? Millions of people killed. Not just Jews were killed in Germany, by the way.
Right.
Many Christians were too. I mean, this is real stuff. If you want to talk about religion's violence, so we need to ban it. Well, you're not actually solving the problem of violence. You're going to make it worse. Without religion, things have gotten worse, not better. That's right. Just history. That's just facts.
That's akin to putting a Band-Aid over something that might need a tourniquet. You know what I mean?
It's akin to lighting someone on fire who's got a pain in their forearm. Right. Like, you have a pain in your forearm? That's bad. Let's get rid of it. Let's set you on fire and burn you to death. Right. I mean, that you're making the problem worse, not better. I meet a lot of people who say, you know what? It just matters what you believe. You know, if that makes you happy, then I'm glad that you're doing that, that you believe that. I talked to someone today. In fact, she said, you know what? I want my friend to be happy. So, you know, if they don't believe in Jesus, basically, she said, if they don't believe in Jesus, go to church. And that's fine. It doesn't bother me because they might find happiness somewhere else.
Right.
Okay.
You know, if she were to put the emphasis in a different part of that sentence, I would be inclined to agree with her.
What?
Because it does matter what you believe. She says it just matters what you believe. It's true if you look at it from a different sense, because it does matter what you believe. Because okay. If you believe the right thing, that's what matters, not just anything willy-nilly.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Now, see.
Sorry, you looked confused.
I did. Well, because I didn't actually say that yet. That's on the script, but I didn't say it.
Is it really? I'm going to throw the script away.
I think I figured out what you were doing, but I hadn't gotten to that part yet. And I was like, what is it? That's okay. But yeah, she said, it does matter what you believe is what we're getting at.
We need to stop hanging out.
It does. Dave's reading my mind. It does matter what you believe. And the question isn't, does it make someone happy? The question I think is it true?
Right.
Like, of course. My first response would be often, what if someone wants to use religion to do violence and it makes them happy? Is it okay then? Of course not.
Right.
Oh, of course you shouldn't use religion to be violent. What if someone wants to use religion to kidnap children? Well, of course not. What if it makes someone happy? Well, of course you can't do that. You know what? You're very intolerant towards certain behaviors.
Right.
You're intolerant towards murder. You're intolerant towards kidnapping. You're intolerant towards violence.
But wouldn't you say it's okay to be intolerant towards those things?
Exactly. That's the point, Dave. Mm-hmm. It is good to be intolerant towards some things. Now, do you want your intolerance to inspire violence? I hope not, because that's what we're against.
Right.
Right. But to say, if my one true religion, is that intolerant? Well, maybe it is a little bit,
right?
But is that bad? Is it bad to say this is right, other things are wrong? I have a sound clip of the Dalai Lama. I didn't get it for today, but he often uses this analogy that religions are like medicines. You use the one that works best for you.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, that's great if you have an illness and you need to find the right medicine, but what if a religion doesn't fix your problem? What if the problem is sin and it doesn't matter if you feel better about it? What if the problem is sin and sin needs to be removed? You need to be forgiven. That's what Christianity says. Like, the problem is we're going to hell. And what's the medicine for that? It's Jesus. It's the only medicine that works, according to Jesus. He says the only way to the Father is through him. And so it doesn't really matter if it's intolerant. It doesn't even matter if people like it or not. What matters is the only medicine that will work is Jesus, because our problem is sin. Our problem is evil, and we need to be forgiven for that.
Right. Right. It's like, you know, if you got a headache, you're not going to put a tourniquet around your neck. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just bad medicine, right?
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
You know, it's the same thing. It's like the cure that we need is for the disease of sin.
Yes. That's exactly right. We need the cure for sin. We don't need the cure for our unhappiness. Now, right. Ultimately, happiness will be found through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that's not really the main point. The main point is we're sinners and we need help. Now, we're going to answer a Bible contradiction. We're going to do it right now.
Bible contradiction.
I have a Bible contradiction brought to you today by the fine folks over there at answering-christianity.com.
All right, hit me, dude.
Okay, you asked for it. Oh, who will bear whose burden, they want to ask. Now, this contradiction, they are literally three verses apart.
This is the same paragraph.
Yes. Okay, Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
All right.
So we are to carry each other's burden. However, just three verses later is Galatians 6:5. For each one should carry their own load.
Jeff. Which is it? Carry your own burden or carry other people's burdens?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, the answer, we're going to use two things from our cracked acronym.
Okay.
The second C is credibility. Credibility means if there's something that's difficult to understand, you need to dig a little deeper. Especially in this instance, because it's in the same paragraph.
Right.
It's very unusual for even a dumb person to contradict themselves three sentences apart.
Right.
And the writers of scripture were not idiots. They're not going to contradict themselves three verses apart from each other in the same paragraph. So that's huge. But also, we're going to use the letter D for dialect, right? The Greek words matter here. The type of words that are being used matter. Okay, at the beginning, when it says carry each other's burdens, that is the Greek word baros, and it literally means an abundance or a load, a big load. It implies like a burdensome weight that's not able to be lifted by one person alone. Okay. So I picture like a giant boulder on someone's back and it's just squishing them. They can't literally lift it. That's what the Bible says. Carry each other's excessive burdens. Okay. Now when it says everyone should carry their own load, that load is the Greek word phortion, and it literally means invoice or task. It implies a job that should be handled by someone themselves. It has nothing to do with whether or not the person has handled it by themselves.
Right.
But the people should be able to lift it. It's kind of like, think about carrying a backpack with some rocks in it. It's a load. You can carry it. Everybody should be able to do that on their own.
Right.
So what the Bible is actually saying here in Galatians is, you have responsibilities. You need to care for your own responsibilities.
Right.
Sometimes people end up with excessively burdensome situations that they cannot handle on their own. And if that's the situation, that's when the church is called in. That's when we together are called in to help each other.
Right.
Look, I can't lift this on my own. Dave needs to help me. But if it's something I should be carrying on my own, my normal daily tasks, paying my bills, like making my meals, these are the things that we need to be doing on our own and not burdening other people with. So that's what the Bible's talking about. There's a difference in the Greek word here, and until you know that, it's going to sound like a contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
So basically, handle your business, but love one another.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Taking care of business, right, unless it's a really big load. isn't that how it went?
No, but it should.
Okay, right? So
we'll rewrite it. We'll petition.
Is religion intolerant? It's possible that religion is intolerant, but I want to tell you a little story. There's an architect.
Mm-hmm.
He was a famous architect, and he built the blueprints for this giant size skyscraper in town, and a lot of people worked there. It was very famous. The place had just opened, and there was a guy working up on like the 100th floor. He was doing his job and working on the computer, writing some checks and stuff. And all of a sudden, this door, this guy shows up. Well, who are you? Can I help you? The guy says, oh, don't mind me. My name's John Reut. He goes, whoa, John Reut? You're the architect who designed this building. And he's like, yeah, I did design the building. That's cool. He's like, well, come on in, man. Come on in. Let me talk to you. I love this building. This is a beautiful building. It's brand new. And I'm 100 stories up. Like, this is amazing. How'd you do it? And of course, the architect Reut, he just happens to have the blueprints with him. So he pulls them out. He's like, you want to see the drawings? He's like, well, heck yeah, I want to see the drawings. So they pull them out on the table, and the architect and the businessman are looking at him. And then the businessman sees something. He's like, wait a minute. Because I'm not an architect, but I am okay at math. And I'm looking at the structures here, the support beams you have to hold this building up. They look too small. Like, aren't they supposed to be three times this strong? And the architect says, stop judging me, dude. Stop judging me. He goes, no, it's not about judging. I'm just saying, look, these need to be stronger. This building's going to fall down. And the architect goes, you know what, dude? You're totally being intolerant to my point of view.
Right.
My point of view is that the building's more beautiful with the smaller beams, and so that's what I used.
And it may be. But is it going
to
last?
Is it okay to be intolerant sometimes? Is it okay to say one thing is right and another thing is wrong?
It is.
It is okay to say one thing is right and something else is wrong. We do that every single day with food and math and buildings and fire and hospitals.
Right.
Why do we not do it with things where eternity is in the balance?
Right. That's why they call things in measurements that's within a certain tolerance.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
So
big deal. All right. You need to get out to truthrevolution.tv. Dave, what was that address?
Truthrevolution.tv.
You can listen to Truth Shots on Tuesdays, Thursdays.
And you can also donate.
That's right. You also need to come out to Revolution Church. We'll be right back after this very, very short break.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
What if there were other messiahs?
What if we found someone who did many things just like Jesus, lived around the same time, and even claimed to have risen from the dead?
We've refuted some of these on previous shows.
Right, guys like Apollonius, Sabbatai, Mithras, and more.
But just think about the principle behind it. What if those stories were true?
What would that take away from Jesus?
Jesus still fulfilled all of the Jewish prophecy.
Nobody else did.
Jesus still rose from the dead and was recorded as a historical figure.
He's not a myth. He actually did these things and was the legitimate Jewish Messiah who rose from the dead. So even if other people did some miracles, it takes nothing away from our worshiping Jesus.
You know, we like to play the what if it's true game.
Yeah.
And usually we find out that Jesus doesn't lose anything.
So next time you hear one of these rumors, play the what if it's true game. See if it takes anything away from Jesus, and then go ahead and look up the facts.
Amen.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back!
And we're back.
And we're being intolerant all the time.
Is it intolerant for religion to claim exclusive truth? Is it intolerant to say our religion's right, the other religions are wrong? Mm. And we kind of came to the conclusion it might be a little intolerant, right?
Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's a requirement for intolerance.
What is that?
That is when the alternative leads to disaster.
Or when the alternative's wrong.
Right.
I mean, it's just a matter of truth. We just want to know the truth.
Right. 2 + 2.
4.
What if it's 6? Can it be 6?
It should not be 6. I don't tolerate that.
But I want it to be 6.
But it's not 6.
You intolerant.
I'm so intolerant.
Oh.
Some people talk about religion, and I've heard this analogy before. I don't know if you've heard it, where they say religion and trying to find and understand God is like blind men on an elephant.
Yeah.
You've heard this?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's an elephant, and there are 3 or 4 men feeling the elephant, and each man represents a different religion.
Right.
The elephant represents God or reality, and one blind man has a trunk and he says, oh, wow, you know, God is like long and bendable. And another man's under the belly. He says, no, God is big and round and solid. And another man is holding on to the tail. He says, no, God is tiny and nimble and fuzzy at the end.
Right.
And each of them are describing an element of God, but all religions together need to work together to understand who God really is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's an interesting claim that people make when they say that's what religion is like. Do you know why?
Because, I'm sure you're going
to
tell me.
Because to be able to make that claim, you actually have to know that there's an entire elephant.
Right.
You have to know what the truth is to be able to say that you guys only have part of the truth.
Right, exactly. Because otherwise, you still have every bit of the truth, or so you think.
So these people are saying, well, look, every religion just sees part of the truth. But in order to say that, you have to be able to see the whole truth to know that's the truth. That's ridiculous. Yeah. They're saying that they know more than every religion put together. What if, though, the elephant gave sight to one of the blind men to see him for who he really is?
Uh-oh.
You see, God has disclosed himself to man so that we could know him truly. That's the whole point of Christianity. It's not our fault others remain blind when God says, look, just open your eyes. It's right here. Mm-hmm. Our whole point here is that there's an objective truth. If there really is a God who exists, we need to ask, who is God and what is God like and what does God want from us, and not what do I think God is like?
Right. And the whole fact of the matter is that, and the thing that we've been doing on this show since we started is we seek truth. Mm. And if you're going to seek truth, and we believe that we have found that truth in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, and if somebody can prove us wrong, if there's any way that we can find out, well, if somebody proves it to us beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're wrong, then we're not going to sit here and say, well,
no.
Well, I guess.
Then we'd be done.
Yeah, we'd be done.
We want the truth.
That's the whole thing. And in order to seek truth, you got to be objective about it.
All right, we're going to answer a listener question.
Okay. I got a question.
All right, listener question. Says, I heard the other day, my friend asked me, God can do everything, right? Is God strong enough to make a rock that he can't lift?
Okay. No, he can't.
What? Jeff?
Certainly. People ask this question all the time. Certainly, God can do all things. Uh-huh. But when we say that, we're really speaking colloquially, right? We're really using everyday language.
Okay.
And so we're saying God can do all things that are logically possible is what we really mean.
Right.
We're not saying there's every single thing that you could possibly imagine is something God could do. Because what are some things God can't do?
Well, God can't not be God.
Right. God can't not be God. He's always going to be God. God can't change that. Okay. Mm-hmm. God can't make a square circle because squares are squares and circles are circles. You can't make a circle square or a square circle.
Right. And when a square stops being a square,
then it's not a square anymore.
Right. And it could be a circle eventually,
but then it's a circle.
I see what you mean.
But then it's a circle.
There are certain laws that God himself has put into place that the universe follows.
Yeah, well, it's just reality stuff. Right. I mean, it's not that these are over God. It's just, it's a logical impossibility. Mm-hmm. God cannot sin. There are things that God cannot do. So we're not saying that God can do everything. So when we say, can God make a rock bigger than he could lift? No, the answer is no. God cannot make a rock bigger than he could lift. And this doesn't mean, see, people use this question to try to show the absurdity of thinking about an all-powerful being.
Right.
But it's not that God's all-powerful, they can do everything. We've never said that. No Christian has ever said that. Except for men, no good theologian has ever said that. Mm-hmm. What we really mean is that God can do all things that are logically possible. And now, it's true that God can do things beyond our ability to logic and reason. Things that we can't fathom. And so in some sense, it's crazy for us to talk about what God can or can't do.
Right.
Because we can't comprehend everything he can or can't do. But on the other hand, we know that God can't do everything. He can't sin. So it's totally okay to say that God cannot make a rock bigger than he can lift.
I got a question.
All right, let's get back to this.
Okay.
Religion.
Being intolerant.
Intolerance. Okay, here's what's interesting. A lot of people say, well, religion causes people to be hateful and violent, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the thing. So, and Tim Keller said that there's three options. Like, you could outlaw it, which we found out doesn't really work, okay? And we talked about that. I mean, when you try to outlaw it, you actually end up in a worse position than before. And so, you know, outlawing it doesn't work. You could just try to write it off and say, well, no, there's truth all over. You know, another approach is to fix the problem of it by condemning religion, saying all religions are equal. We found out that doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. The whole elephant thing, that doesn't. But really, what I want to get at today is, instead of saying that religion is the problem, I want to say religion's the solution, okay? Because everybody says, well, look, here's the problem. Why this is why people get violent when they do a religion, because they take it way too seriously.
You don't think we should take religion seriously?
No. Huh? I don't think we take religion seriously enough.
Okay.
I think people get into religion and they act like they've always acted, but now they have something new to get ticked off about.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. You need to take religion more seriously. What if we actually are hardcore and did everything Jesus wants us to do? Listen to this verse. This is Matthew 5, verses 43 to 45.
All right. You have not heard what is... what.
Excuse you me. Have heard.
You have heard what it is said.
Love that, that it was said.
Love your neighbor.
Let me read this one.
No, I got it. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He caused his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Okay, close enough. Good. All right, so you get the point, right? Love your enemy. Do good to everyone, even non-believers, even those you disagree with, even those who hurt you. I think the problem isn't being too religious. I think the problem is not following Jesus enough.
Amen.
He says, love your enemy. If you really follow Jesus, you would not hurt anyone, even if they were hurting you, because you're supposed to love the people that hurt you. Too many people use God as an excuse to hate, but that's not what God wants from anyone. Matthew 22:36, some said to Jesus, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And he couldn't stop himself. He has to give two.
Right.
And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I love how Jesus felt obligated when someone asked him what's the most important. He felt obligated to throw in the second most important commandment.
Right.
To love other people, just like you love yourself.
Right. And I think what's important to note as well is the verse that comes directly after that, which says the entire law and the prophets hangs on these two verses, on these two commandments.
If you're not loving other people, you have blown away the entire point of what God wants for you.
Amen.
And so the problem isn't that people are taking the religion too seriously. The problem is that people aren't taking the religion, Jesus, seriously enough. Luke 6:32-35 says this.
If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Mm. Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, stepping on some toes there, Jesus.
You got to love people who are even doing wrong to you. Luke 6:37, do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will not be forgiven. Again, I'll say it again. The problem isn't that we have taken religion too seriously, that we're Bible thumpers. The problem is we haven't taken it seriously enough.
Right. There's a reason why the followers of Christ were called disciples, because there takes some discipline, which is a disciple, same root word, to follow God. And some of these people that use Jesus as an excuse to hate other people have no discipline.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They take Jesus, they take religion on, and then they use it as a motivating factor to just go ahead and dislike people for another reason now.
Right. So why not lay down Christianity to just hate people willy-nilly anyway?
Right. I mean, the problem is that we have not taken Jesus seriously enough.
Amen.
And it's not only with religious stuff. I mean, what about your food and your clothing? And wouldn't people, even if they became religious, wouldn't they still worry about that? Well, listen to what, and wouldn't they fight over that? But listen to what Jesus says about that.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?
Ah, see, that's good, right? Because what do humans fight over? Stuff.
Stuff.
They fight over the same stuff Jesus tells us not even to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So if we
especially during Christmas time, that's weird.
Yeah, if we took Jesus seriously, not only would we love everybody, including our enemies, we'd love the people who are doing wrong to us, we'd forgive everybody, we wouldn't even worry about our clothes and our food and our stuff. I think the problem is we haven't taken religion seriously enough.
Amen. And if we did all that stuff, we would change the world just like Jesus did.
Exactly. It's okay to say Jesus is right and other religions are wrong. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do that, you better take Jesus seriously.
Amen.
So go ahead and be intolerant, but be intolerant in the way Jesus wants you to be intolerant.
Amen.
Which is lovingly.
Well said.
All right. Thanks for listening. This is TruthRevolution.tv. if you're going to listen to a book today, I wanted to get to this, didn't get to this. Maybe we'll hit it next week.
Uh-huh.
So Many Christians, So Few Lions by George Yancey. We've had him on as a guest. Let's try to hit this one in 2 weeks.
Okay.
We'll try to recommend this in 2 weeks. So we'll come back to this. Really good book. He's going to get little two promos here now that we're going to do it. All right. Have a great week. Come on out to Revolution Church. Love to see you 9 or 11 every Sunday morning.